Log Talk Radio.
Your time. It's my time. It's your time. Good evening and welcome to another edition of Home-Based Business 101. And today's show is about tax savings and the power of owning a home-based business and the things that you can write off. One of the things we're going to look at this evening is your vehicle. You can get some insanely better vehicle deductions. You know how to properly write off your car or your vehicle. Okay, there's two methods. There's the IRS method, which they give you 54 cents per mile driven, and there's the actual method. But let's look at the IRS method first. Say if you have a car and it gets 20 miles to a gallon, and let's say if gas is $2.28 a gallon, then the IRS basically will pay you $10.90 for every mile that you put on your car. $10.90 for every 20 miles that you put on your car. That's assuming that you get 20 miles to the gallon. And how's that calculated? It's 20 miles times 0.545. They give you 54.5 cents per mile that you put on your vehicle. So that can become, you know, very, very lucrative thing as far as driving. Means that you'll save on average about $3.82 on your taxes for every 20 miles that you put on your car. And the other method is the actual method. The actual method for deducting your car vehicle is called the actual method. It's called the actual method. It's calculated just like the name implies. At the end of the year, simply calculate the total cost for driving your car, then multiply that sum by the percent of miles drove for business compared to the total miles. Let's look at an example. Now, remember that a deduction doesn't equal cash, but let's assume you're in the 35% tax bracket. The cash saved on the end of the year, putting 10,000 miles on your car, is $3,503.93. If you do that another way, it means that basically, we're not done yet. With the actual method, you can claim additional deductions for your depreciation. Get into depreciation, how that works in a little bit. Under the new tax law, you can deduct the cars more quickly. Here are just a few highlights. The new tax laws. Qualified trucks can still be 100% depreciated in the first year. To be qualified, it must meet the following criteria. It must be on a truck chassis. It must buy it in the same year. It must not have any rear seating. It must have a 6-foot or greater cargo area. It must have a gross weight of 6,000 pounds or more. It must not have any rear seating. truck has back seats for passengers, then that might still qualify under the next section. But in this example, let's say you, in your car you put 24,000 miles, and total miles driven is 22,000. So, and if you use your truck for 92% of your business uses for your vehicle, then you have $4,492 you spend in gas and oil changes, $1,200 for insurance, $1,200 for maintenance and upkeep, $150 for taxes and license, $230 for wash and wax, and $500 for other. And your total operating expenses for your vehicle for that year, $7,822. Multiply that times 92%, and it comes out to $7,196.24. You add in depreciation, which is $2,815. Your total deduction for this particular tax year would be $10,011.24. Qualified vans and SUVs can also be 100% depreciated in the first year. However, this rule phases out over time. In 2018, when the rule was created, it gives you a temporary bonus depreciation for these vehicles. To qualify, they must meet some of the same criteria as a truck, although slightly different. Here are the requirements. It must be in a truck chassis, must buy it in the same year and claim the depreciation, it must carry passengers, and finally, it must have a gross weight of 6,000 pounds or more. Even if you don't buy one of the qualified vehicles mentioned above, the new tax law will benefit you, because in the past, expensive cars took a long time to depreciate. Under the new tax law, it can depreciate much quicker. For example, under the old tax law, 50,000 BMW sedan would have taken 18 years to depreciate if you drove it 100% business. Under the new tax laws, it would only take 6 years. So you can certainly see how some business owners will be driving nicer cars. Remember, depreciation is an expense you get to claim in addition to the cost of operating a vehicle. Costs like gas, oil changes, repairs, and car washes, and more. Vehicles are the number one audit expense. Why? Because regardless of which method you use for deducting your car, you need to keep good mileage. For decades, smart business owners kept a clipboard in their car so they could write down this information every time they got in a car. Recording mileage can be tedious if you keep track of it on a clipboard. But if you use the TaxBot automatic system, it's a snap. You'll see later on how this TaxBot system can work for you. So good. You go to taxbot.com and download the app, and it'll do all your record keeping for you. Remember, back to artists for a second. When you sign your tax return, you do so under the penalty of perjury, that you have the backup information to prove it. The IRS does not mess around when it comes to automobile deductions. So you sign your return, which says you have backup information, and you can't produce those records in the audit, then you get nailed. Easy win for the IRS. Who qualifies as business driver? First we need to answer, is your principal place of business your home, or is it an office that you commute to? If you're not sure, check out Section Identity Home Office Deductions. Home office is the principal place of business. If you have a home, and is your principal place of business, the definition in the section on home office, then all business stops from your home are deductible. No trips to the bank, client's office, office supply, store, etc. for that business are all deductible. Therefore, if you have a qualified home office, then your mileage is easy to determine as business. You can skip ahead now to turn to your personal business mileage in the business mileage section. There's one major exception if you have a regular job in addition to your home business. Then the direct commute to your job is not deductible. You commute to your main office. If your principal place of business is an office other than your home, then the direct commute from your home to your office is not deductible. However, with some planning, you can turn it into deduction by making some temporary business stops on the way to the office. Definition, what is a temporary business stop? That you do not regularly and that you will not be visiting frequently for more than a year. Since you are expected to go to the bank or post office regularly for years to come, this is not a temporary business stop. However, visiting a client or prospect would be considered a temporary stop. So if you're going to visit a client, just make sure that they're in your route to the post office. So that way you can write that mileage off, get credit for it. You go from your home to meet a prospect somewhere other than your office, which is your principal place of business. Then you go to stops A, B, and C, all related to your business, then to the office. All your miles would be deductible, since meeting the prospect was a temporary stop. Example two, you leave your office, you leave your house to go to the post office. Then you proceed to A, B, and C, and to the office. Your trip to the office would not be deductible because it's a regular business stop, not temporary. However, all the miles after that would be deductible. Trips outside your metro area. If you make legitimate business stops outside your normal business area, then all your round-trip mileage is deductible as long as you will not be there more than a year. For example, you live in Denver, but you attend a convention in Salt Lake City. You don't. All miles to the convention would be deductible since it's outside of your normal geographic area of business. However, if you're stationed in Salt Lake City, a project that is expected to last more than a year, then the miles wouldn't be deductible. So what you want to do is you want to learn how to turn your personal miles into business miles. Successful business owners know that there are opportunities everywhere for those willing to find them. You might want to learn to mix business with pleasure. Example, let's say you want to drive across town to visit your mom. Visiting your mom is not a business trip. However, ask yourself, do I have a client or a prospect near my mom's house? If you do, set up an appointment and do a little business on the way there or back. Note, you should prearrange the appointment. The mileage to and from the client could now become deductible. Therefore, the only portion of the trip from the client to your mom's house is personal. You just save some money. So you got your home office, which is your principal place of business. All business stops from home that are business mileage. If you travel more than 35 miles outside of your geographic area, the answer to that is yes, then all mileage is business mileage, which means you can write it off. You make any temporary business stops along the way, the answer is yes, then deduct all the mileage from the home, the temporary business stop, and back to the home, the temporary business stop. All stops between business stops are deductible. And this comes in your hand because what you want to do, you want to keep track of your mileage. Kids can't say, well, I drove X, Y, Z miles. I think it was about 50 miles. No, you need to be exact. You need to be exact and precise. Because the IRS is going to ask you for exact and precise record keeping. So make sure that you get your business miles down or written down so that you don't lose track for that deduction, because that's a huge deduction when it comes to car, and that the IRS expects you to keep a mileage log. And if you have a mileage log, you can show beyond a shadow of a doubt how many miles you put on your vehicle and where you drove to and from. which is very, very important. That pretty much covers the vehicle. Other thing we're going to look at is meals and entertainment. Sharing a meal with a prospect or a client can be a great way to grow your business. For centuries, people have been using this technique, but did you know that many of your meals could be tax deductible? When Congress was debating the new tax law, they considered removing deduction for meals and entertainment. It appears that meals are still deductible, however, entertainment is definitely not. That is one of the big changes. Think about that. Taking clients out to sports games, plays, golf, other types of entertainment is no longer deductible. I'm surprised that the NBA and NFL didn't lobby hard on this point because it will make it harder to sell tickets to business owners as a write-off. So I had a client who used to live in Atlanta, and one of the things that they did was they used to take clients to the Atlanta Braves games, Atlanta Hawks, Atlanta Falcons games. And that meant that they'd go to the game. I mean, that was a write-off in terms of the ticket. And from the game, they'd go to the club, which became another write-off because you got meals and drinks. And so they had a very lucrative thing going with that in terms of being able to deduct the meals and the entertainment because they was able to do who, what, where, when, why, and what the expense was. The 5 W's and the H. Who do you take out to eat? Where did you eat it? When did the expense occur? That's the date. Why should this be considered a business meal? Be specific. What was the expense, the business meal? How much did the meal cost? And that's on your receipt. And you can write off the meal, and you can write off the tip. So, and here's a kicker. If they bring their spouse, then you can take your spouse. It's really what's good for real estate people. You're showing people a house, and they bring their wife to the meeting, then you get to write off that meal for their wife and your wife, and all expenses that are included. You must have the appointment set up in advance, and whomever you're eating with must expect to talk about business. You must talk about business before, during, and after the meal. You must eat in a place that is easy to talk about business. The expense must be recorded soon after the meal. So it's important that you record the expense right after the meal and that you remember the who to take out to eat. Take out husband and wife. Where did you eat? Name of the restaurant. When did it occur? The date, the actual date. You can say sometime in May, sometime in June. Well, you need to be specific. May 15th or June 15th, the date's going to be on your receipt. And this is a good way to make sure that you get that 50% deduction for all your meals, all your meals that you buy. For people, it's treating them or your business expense is a great way to entertain clientele and get a tax deduction. Great way. I do this myself at times when I'm dealing with clients concerning their taxes. I try to set up, if I'm in the same state with them, I try to set up a business meeting where we go out to eat, meal is on me because I'm getting a tax deduction. And I'm able to write that meal off. 50% of that meal is mine and theirs. Or if they bring their wife to my dad's their wife. And if I bring my wife, their wife, down to mine, so you write off meals for four people in this example. And that's great, because that becomes a huge, huge business expense. So if you wine and you like to wine and dine, and you really want to take advantage of the meal deduction, because for every $100 that you spend, you can write off $50 of that. So that's a great, great thing. At the end of the year, if you're in a 35% tax bracket, and what happens is 35% of that meal. So if you spend $100, 35% of that meal, which is $35, and you write off 50% of that, means $17.50 comes your write off that meal. It is a great, great way to save money on your taxes. So you want to keep that in mind. You want to make sure you take advantage of your meal deductions. And the last thing we want to cover, the last two things we want to cover, is your home office, which can be a gold mine. And the other is having your children work for you. Okay. The home office deduction looks like this. The IRS, 2013, they came up when they created, they give you $5 per square foot for home office use. Simple, simple, quick and dirty method, they call it. Means if you had and this was capped at 300 square feet for your home office use. So 300 square foot, I mean, a total deduction, $1,500. Now, if you have one room in your house, 12 by 12 in dimension, and that's 144 square feet, multiply that by 5, and that's $720. Remember, the deduction is not cash. Find out the cash value. That's assumed in your 35% tax bracket. So the 720 times 35% equals $250 in cash savings. That's the quick and dirty method. And that works pretty good for most people because it's easy to remember. You just ask how big is your house? And what is the percentage of square foot that you use in your house? And if they use two rooms or more, no, and you got to make sure when you tell people to take a picture of the room and make sure you don't have nothing in that picture that cannot be used or explained that's used for business purposes. And so that's important to have. But if you got a treadmill in that room, that would disqualify you because they look at the picture and they say, "What's the treadmill for?" And you have a hard time explaining that one. So whatever's in that room, when you take the picture, and the picture's worth 1,000 words, then that picture, you're good to go. You got in there your books, your computer, your desk, your file cabinet, sofa, or area where people just sit at, and so let's picture this again now. Picture your typical home office. You got your computer, your laptop, your printer, you got a TV in there for showing videos. That's another good thing to be able to do, showing your clients videos. Because then that means the TV becomes a tax deduction for you. You can write that television off and all of the videos that you have. So I want to keep in mind that basic thing you want to do is, you see, cover your ass. Cover your ass. And easy way to do that is making sure, take a picture of your home office so that you have pictures that can show all the things that you have in your home office that you use for your business. And that's very, very important. Very, very important. Again, the picture's worth 1,000 words. And when you have that picture, that's proof that you have a home office without the IRS coming to see it. And if they schedule a visit, make sure you take them to the home office so they can see it and see what you see. Make sure they understand that what they're looking at is the actual home office that you use for your business purposes. And this becomes a great, great write-off. Well, let's look at an example. So, say you got your mortgage interest, which is $10,000, your real estate taxes, which is $1,200, your utilities, which is $4,800, the homeowner's insurance, which is $500, general repairs, which is $500, your lawn care and your pest control service comes to $400 a year, your office repairs, $200. That's $17,600. Now, of the mortgage interest, you want to be able to write part of that off. If you can write off, be able to write off 15% of that, then that's $1,500. Real estate taxes is $1,200, so you can write off $180 of that. Utilities was $4,800, so you can write off $720 of that. The homeowner's insurance was $500, so you can write off $75 of that. Your general repairs, $500, you can write off $75 of that. Your lawn care and pest control was $400, you can write off $60 of that. Your home office repairs was $200, you can write off $30 of that, bringing your total write-offs up to $2,640. That is a method that I use when doing people's taxes. Is get those figures, and I calculate what percentage the house they use for business purposes. And I have that on the form. What percent? It was 10%, 15%, 20%, 30%. And usually how you get that percentage is take the total square foot of the house and then the rooms that's used. So if you got a room that's used as far as entertaining your customers, your clients, and if you have a kitchen, your kitchen is no longer your kitchen. It's called a snack room. And you just kind of calculate what percentage of times that you use that snack room for serving meals. And that will be give you the percent that you need for calculating your taxes. So, 50% of the time when people come to visit you, then you can write off 50% of that square footage in the house. All this is making sense. Get you to visualize what I'm talking about. So you can have a clear, clear, concise, and mental picture of the home-based business rule as far as when it comes to writing off a portion of your home-based business for tax purposes. And last thing I'm going to cover is your children working for you. Okay, this is great because the first $1,200 tax-free. Under the new tax law, the standard deduction also doubled to be $12,000. That means if your child earns less than $12,000 in 2018, they don't have to pay any taxes on it because it doesn't qualify, because they will qualify for personal exemption on their own tax return. If you pay them more than $12,000 in a given year, then you must pay unemployment taxes, federal and state income taxes. So let's say your child's going to college and you're still taking care of them. Let's say their major is digital design. You have a firm that quotes you price $40,000 to do a website for you. But your child can do it $12,000. So which means you say they earn and you're able to write that $12,000 off. They don't have to pay any taxes on it because they're still exempt paying taxes because they're listed as a dependent on your return. So you saved $28,000 for a $40,000 job, paid your child $12,000 to do the job. I mean, there's other things children can do, especially the child must be older than seven. The benefit here is you can hire younger kids without worrying about child labor law. You must pay them a reasonable wage. You cannot pay a kid $100 an hour to do work. You must have meticulous timesheets and records. If you pay your child more than $12,000 a year, they must pay taxes on it. Make sure this is up with an accountant to ensure that you are compliant. They must file their own tax return. And the first $12,000 is free because they don't have to pay $12,000. They don't have to pay taxes on anything under $12,000. So, seriously, if you own your business, there are things your children can do. You hear a few examples. They can file paperwork, clean the office. They can lick envelopes, send out mails, products and samples, drop off flyers and brochures, or hand out flyers and brochures, answer phone calls and email clients, and manage your social media accounts. If you were to put an advertisement online or a newspaper and hire an employee, wouldn't that be a deductible expense? Well, why not hire your kids? Yeah. Most parents just fork over $50 for Johnny for video games or $150 for Sarah's dance lessons. You could pay them that money on the books and just recalculate it out. So now at the $150, pretty much that you spent for your daughter's dance lesson, it's your pay. So you'll be able to write that down. It becomes $1,800 a year for the lesson. But if you hire her to file paperwork and manage your social media accounts, pay her a reasonable wage, she can pay for her own dance lessons. She makes $1,800 a year, and you can be deducted, and you come out ahead. That's assuming you're a 35% tax bracket. $1,800 times 35% equals $630 in cash savings. That's another $630 that you get to save on your taxes. And all these things add up. They all add up. You go to www.thetaxhelper.weebly.com. You can see examples, the website of this, and be able to take advantage of it. So that's the story in a nutshell. Hire your children, you come out cheaper. You got a big tax saving, and you're able to pay for things that you normally would pay for them at your out-of-pocket expense, but now, like a trade-off with your child, they earn the money. So as they earn the money, pay them, then it enables you to do more with your money and help you save on your taxes in the long run. Again, go to www.thetaxhelper.wibbly.com, or you can give me a call at 252-458-3712. I prefer you go online and go to the website, because that way, if I'm busy and I don't answer the phone, I always check my website. You showed out what and left me contacts on my social media page. That is my social media page, taxes, www.thetaxhelper.wibbly.com. That is the tax website. Jahi and Associates. And my Cash App is $Movements, MOVEMENTS, Unlimited, UNLIMITED. And you can go there to send the money via Cash App. So I hope this has been helpful for you. And I try to cover as much as I can. And I'll be back Monday for another recap. And we'll close out with a theme song, It's My Time. Okay, here we go. Calling me. All right, all right. It's my time, it's your time, it's our time. My time to let the world know who I am. Stand up and say boldly, I am somebody. And it's important that we do that each and every day, because the more we do that, the more we demand of ourselves, the more we can get out of life. I thank you for listening. And I'll be back on here Monday with some more tax tips. And so that concludes the show for today. All right, thank you.